This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. For those of you who would like to contact me again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. We appreciate those of you who take the time to write and pray for this ministry. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We will also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there, as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today we're going to continue our study of Acts chapter 18, and last time you'll remember how that Paul was at Corinth and there was resistance to the preaching of the gospel. And we had left off where in verse 17 it said, "Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. He cared for none of these things," it says in the King James Version. And so we'll notice that the Jews went to the secular rulers to try to get Paul and others to quit preaching the gospel, and you'll notice that the secular rulers, in a sense wisely, did not listen to this controversy, but they left the religious controversy where it belonged, in the synagogue and in the preaching of the gospel amongst the early church. And so he took no notice of these things, but on the other hand, he himself did not care what was right or what was wrong. And we noted that likely a man like that is going to miss out on God's salvation, and they're going to find out too late that these things are important, that Christ in fact did die for sinners, that in fact there is a heaven and there is a hell. And because they cared for none of these things, they were never convicted of their sin, they were never converted, they never trusted the Lord, and they missed out on the greatest blessing that is available to us in this life. They missed out on the blessing of knowing that Christ is their Savior. Galileo is representative of many people today, and that's where we left off last time. So then we look at Acts chapter 18, verse 18, and it says, "Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut at Kenchre, for he had taken a vow." Now, when we read this, it almost appears that Paul was the one who took the vow and had his hair cut. But there's a difference of opinion as to whether it's Aquila that took the vow or whether it's Paul that took the vow. Because of some of the other things that Paul tells us in his epistles, I would rather suspect that it was Aquila that took the vow, but this is not a question that can easily be answered. And so when he, that is Paul, came to Ephesus, now he's going back into Turkey, and left them there, he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now this is his first trip to Ephesus, and it occurs on his second missionary journey. When they asked him to stay a while longer with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing." In other words, if God will permit it, he would return again to them. And he sailed from Ephesus, and when he landed at Caesarea, and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch, and after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening the disciples. So as we look at this section, we can see that he's at the end of his second missionary journey. He comes back to Turkey. He had wanted to do some of his ministering in the northern or the eastern part of Turkey, or maybe even northeast of there, but the Lord had hindered him. He had ended up going over to Greece, and he had left now disciples behind him in Philippi. He had left disciples behind him in Thessalonica, and he had left disciples behind him in Corinth. There had been people who had heard him preach the gospel, even though he was being persecuted for doing it, and they were responding to it. He had also preached the gospel, as if you'll remember, in Athens, and he tried to preach it in a way where they would understand it, because they didn't have a background in the Old Testament, and they were philosophers. And if you'll remember, He preached to them about the unknown God that they worshipped. And so he preached there as well. It does not appear that he left disciples behind him at Athens. Philosophers, people who think they're smart, people who are setting themselves up as final authority, are a hard people to reach. And there were two kinds of philosophers in Athens. There were those who believed in the Epicurean approach, which means that if something feels good, do it. And there were those who believed in the Stoic approach, which means that if something feels good, you don't do it. And they believed in self-discipline. And neither one of these approaches really brings people closer to God, where they really understand the issue of sin and why Christ had to die, why he was buried, and why he rose again, why he ascended into heaven and told us he's coming again. And friend, if there's anything that I desire from the preaching of the gospel on this program, it's for you to fully understand what Galileo did not understand and what the Athenians did not understand, that the relationship that we have with God is always through Christ. This is what Paul preached, and that salvation is necessary. Peter even could say, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And our desire is that the gospel would prosper just as it did with Paul, and that it would prosper in your heart if you're not already saved. And if you are saved, it would be our desire that you would thank the Lord for what he has done for you, and that you would share that good news with others. We live in tumultuous times. It's not like this where even the innocent are beat. It's interesting to me that we are concerned about Muslim law, which seems to be so cruel, but I think that the Roman law was just as cruel, and the Romans were just as cruel, maybe more cruel, in that they would take a man who was found innocent, like the Lord Jesus, and beat him, and because of popular opinion would crucify him. And even here, Sosthenes was beaten. And it was sort of like, well, you didn't do it, but just so you don't ever think about doing it, we're going to show you who is boss. And whenever you've got people ruling like that, you have to thank the Lord for a country like ours, where at least at the present time, there's a conscience about punishing innocent people. And so he went to Ephesus. They wanted him to stay longer, and when we look at Ephesus, we're going to find out that there was a church established there, and we're going to find out this is one of the last places Paul goes on his third missionary journey before he's taken to Jerusalem, ends up being imprisoned and going to Rome. And this is a place where the gospel prospered, but there are two epistles written to Ephesus. One was written by Paul. It's the book of the Ephesians, and it tells us how that the Jews and the Gentiles are all brought into one new body, one new thing in the New Testament, that the elect people are now people of faith, spiritual people of faith, and it's not the Old Testament people who are born right in an earthly way, it's the New Testament people who are born right in a spiritual way. And he tells us how that contains Jews and Gentiles. But when we come to Revelation chapter 2, we find John on the Isle of Patmos sending a letter to Ephesus, and his comment to them is, "Thou hast left thy first love." They had lost their zeal for the things of God. And when you look at the church in the United States of America, we're much like Ephesus today. We are involved in a lot of religious activity, but our zeal for the things of God, our zeal for pleasing God, our zeal for the basics of the gospel, for obedience to the truth, is fast waning. We are more interested in what the gospel can do for us in the sense of satisfying us on this earth, and we are interested in the eternal spiritual side of the gospel. And so today, instead of the church being our focus and the center of our meeting place, we are interested in entertainment, and we are interested in a lot of what I call frothy conventions. We're not interested in the meat and potatoes of being taught the things of God today in our church has gotten to the point where we meet only on Sunday morning for a little 20-minute sermon and think that that's going to benefit us for all week. And it just is not going to do that. And we are so involved in spiritual activities, or what I would call worldly entertainment that we call spiritual activities, that we forget that the real Christian grows as they learn the truth of the Scripture, as God speaks to them through the Scripture, and that takes time. It takes time alone with God, and it takes fellowship with other Christians to do that. But Ephesus had turned away from their first zeal. And it's so easy for us to do that, is it not, to turn away from the zeal that we had when we were first saved. When we were first saved, we were going to see all of our relatives, all of our friends reached with the gospel. And now sometimes we aren't even interested in being involved in the preaching of the gospel. And so we need to make sure that we do not do the same thing that Ephesus did. They heard the gospel here. Paul comes back in his third missionary journey to this place. He sends people to Ephesus that will be a blessing to them. They have all of these blessings, and yet, before it's done, it will be said of them, "Thou hast left thy first love." So Paul then, after he has gone back and reported to Antioch about the work that he's done, then he says in verse 24, "There was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, and he came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately all the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So when he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, Priscilla and Aquila heard him, and they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately." And then the rest of the passage shows how that this man was used of the Lord to show publicly from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, and that's the message we preach. Jesus, this man who was born in Bethlehem's manger, is also God. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of the hope of the Jew. He's the fulfillment of the need of the sinner. He's the one that was to come, and he was the one that ended up being crucified and dying for our sins. But it's interesting that Apollos, he knew the Old Testament Scriptures, but he needed to understand that now we're not worshiping in the Old Testament, and that the Lord has come, and that the Messiah has provided for us. And I personally think that he actually came to faith in Christ and was saved when Priscilla and Aquila began to explain the way of God to him more perfectly. And we see how religious people seeking the Lord are blessed because they want to know the truth, but they still have to know the truth, and they still have to come to the conclusion that Jesus is the Christ and that he is their Savior, and they have to depend on that in order to be saved. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for blessing upon this program and upon our listeners. We thank Thee for Thy love. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit that uses the Word of God to convince and to convert and to draw people to Yourself and to instruct them. We commit ourselves into Thy care. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.